Listen to the podcast, Life and Advice from Inside CDS. It's your source of business and accounting news, leadership advice, and actionable takeaways that you can implement in your own life and business. Our guest is CDS partner and CPA, Jeff Rizlov. He'll be sharing current tax insights for both individuals and businesses for the 2023 filing season. Now, here's our host, CDS manager and CPA, Thomas Steckman.
So, Jeff, one of the big bills that was passed this year was the Inflation Reduction Act. Can you kind of explain what were some of the tax provisions in this bill and how we might see that impact the tax returns in 2022?
Yeah, like I said, the Inflation Reduction Act, again, was a much smaller bill than what was originally planned. It's a 10-year plan to help improve IRS services, government services, and technology. And so some of the bigger things that were noted in this act was there was a clean vehicle credit now it's passed. It's different than what we had in the past 5, 10, 15 years. It's actually related to minerals, certain battery requirements, and the credit is the same. It's about $7,500 for a new vehicle that's got the qualifying ratings for the energy use. Again, they're looking for electrical vehicles. And again, it did bring back some things from the past too. Certain models of the cars did phase out due to the amount of sales of those vehicles, such as Teslas. They're now back in 2023. And again, looking at this bill as a total, that was the first main thing that people read about was the energy vehicle credit items. And again, that's one of the bigger items. The second thing that they brought back in this bill was they revamped the residential energy efficiency credits that were out there. There was a previous credit to this that was a lifetime credit of $500, and now they revamped that to be an annual credit every year. And I don't know if you read more about it than I did, but it's a $1,200 limit from what I can tell.
Yeah, and you know, past few years we've seen clients, you know, hit that lifetime credit. So we haven't been seeing a lot of these energy credits as we had in the past. But now that it's more of an annual limit, we're going to see a lot more people qualify and take advantage of these credits the next few years.
And again, the same things that were credits before, windows, doors, we're looking at, you know, AC units, heat pumps, those kind of things that qualify for these credits. And I think they've also brought back now, after I read through everything, solar, wind, geothermal products are now back on the table from 2023 through 2032. And again, 30% tax credit for those items and the costs associated to put those in. So that was a big deal. Revamped that. Again, they're trying to better the energy use in our country. And so this is a way they're starting to do that. The last thing that most people read about with the Inflation Reduction Act that's worth noting is they did increase the IRS funding by $80 billion over a 10-year period. And you know what that means? There's going to be potentially more IRS auditors out
yes,
there.
Yes, a lot of people are worried about, you know, just seeing that there's going to be more audits and we're all going to be more having to go under audits. But, you know, from our standpoint, we don't see that being the case, you know, necessarily. Just there is going to be more IRS agents out there, but hopefully that's going to help alleviate some of the backlog that we've seen in the past years and help improve some of their customer service lines as that goes.
And they need that right now. That'd be a huge help to get things back to normal after their backlog with COVID. So
all very good provisions in this bill, and you know, things that we'll see coming forward in this 2022 tax filing season moving forward. So speaking of tax law changes, you know, the last couple of years we've seen quite a few tax law changes just due to some COVID provisions and some one-time year provisions. Can you explain just some of the differences now going from the 2021 tax filing season to the 2022 tax filing season?
Yeah, this is going to be a shock to some people, but we had a lot of credits and a lot of stimulus programs out there during 2020 and 21. It helped maybe get rid of some of the tax issues people had with shortcomings with withholdings and higher tax rates. So, you know, we're going to see first right off the bat, a lot of these programs are now gone. There's no more stimulus money coming in for credits. One of the bigger deals last year was there was an expanded child tax credit that was up to $3,600 per child. That's now back down to $2,000 per child. And again, there's different limitations now that apply versus during COVID. And there also is an expanded dependent care credit last year for daycare costs. And now that's been taken back down to its normal level. So we're going to see a shift in a lot of credits and stimulus money being available for taxpayers. And now we're going to get back to the rules we had maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people probably got used to, you know, those expanded credits and some of those other provisions that we saw this past couple of years. And so now 2022 is, they're going to see probably an increase in tax, potentially just not being able to utilize some of those credits that were available in prior years.
And, you know, there's some things right now, some smaller things too. Like last year, they offer a way to have a higher standard deduction with charitable giving. Mm-hmm. And that's been taken out of the law for right now. There is talk of an extender bill that might get passed here right toward the end of the year or right after the first of the year, that would extend some of these smaller rule changes. But as of right now, nothing on the table that we know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll watch that. But yep. One of the key things for 2022 that people may be unaware of right now is with all the inflation and everything else going on around us, people are going to have higher salaries, higher costs. So obviously they're seeing a higher amount of income that tax that we're going to have to pay on that those salaries, but their costs have been going up at the same clip. I wonder if they've done enough withholding to cover the tax, and Where's that money going to come from now that they have added costs and everything else around them? So
especially with this increase in wages that we're seeing, you know, most people are used to withholding at a lower level. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the withholdings followed the increase in wages and if they'll be in the same situation as it had been in prior years, or if their tax liability is going to be increased before the end of the year.
The IRS tax brackets haven't been inflated as much as the salaries have. So I'm guessing people are going to creep into the higher tax brackets and maybe have a higher tax liability than what they're used to. So.
And, you know, that might even translate into phasing out some of the credits that they've been eligible for in prior years. Their income or their AGI might be too high now, where they just aren't going to see the benefit of those credits too.
I agree.
So, yeah, very good things to watch, you know, as we go into this 2022 tax filing season. But, you know, in December, a big part of our workload and our planning in December is, you know, what can we do now to maximize the tax benefits and minimize the tax liabilities coming into this next filing season. So can you just touch on, you know, what are some of the opportunities we have right now before end of the year to try to help clients, you know, maximize their options for tax purposes?
Yeah, a lot of business owners come see us during the end of the year, and we deal a lot with year-end planning with them. And their main things that they're looking at doing at the end of the year is coming up with things that they need before the end of the year. You know, maybe it's a new purchase of equipment, a vehicle, something along those lines to help drive their taxable income down with tax depreciation options available to them. Again, right now that's been very difficult because of most of the equipment and vehicles are on back order, maybe 6 to 12 months. So a lot of that stuff is off the table. Traditional things that we relied on in the past to keep income lower is not available to us. So we got to look at other ways to do that. And other ways that we've looked to do that, currently business owners have the opportunity to potentially pay their Minnesota taxes through their companies. And it's something that they have to look into in each of their own situations. But there is a Minnesota pass-through entity tax rule right now with S corporations and partnerships where business owners are allowed to use that as a way to pay down their state taxes and pay that in during the year through their companies and get a federal tax deduction for it. Wasn't around here 2 years ago. It's been around now for 2 years, and I think a lot of people are still kind of getting used to that.
Yeah, you know, when that first came out, our concern was, you know, how long is this deduction going to be around? You know, are we going to be able to take advantage of it for multiple years, or is it just going to be a one-time deal? And it's as it sits now, it seems like we're going to be able to take advantage of it. So it's a great planning opportunity, especially if you own a S-corporate partnership, to pay your Minnesota tax based on that income right now and get the federal tax deduction for it that you wouldn't get otherwise. So
yeah,
great opportunity for people.
Yeah, if you're going to have to pay it anyway, you might as well do it through the company. So it's something to look into if you're a business owner. Now, if you're not a business owner, things you can think about doing before the end of the year. You know, we always look at options for, you know, where can we get deductions for somebody who doesn't have a business owner? Well, one of them is through itemized deductions. They can do donations to a charity.
Yep.
One of the more popular avenues I've saw with that is a donor advised fund where they can go in and put money into a fund that's qualifying and get a tax deduction for that for a donation, or they can donate highly appreciated stock. That's been a good win for people as far as keeping their income down. You can look to maximize your retirement contributions through your work. You can look to do that still after the end of the year too through certain business ventures. But again, there's all sorts of options out there as far as looking at ways to get it through retirement. Other options that I've kind of looked at in the past too is if a client's having a down year where their income maybe isn't as high, maybe it's time to look at doing something to bring income in. And one of those options is a Roth conversion, where you can take money that's in a traditional IRA or a different source and convert it into a Roth IRA and turn that into taxable income in the current year, fill up a tax bracket or two, and then that money is now in a Roth IRA moving forward that never gets taxed again.
Yeah, and that's a great opportunity too. You know, if we can bring in that income at a lower tax bracket, you know, pay the tax now, and now that money is sitting in a Roth IRA that's not subject to RMD rules, and it'll help reduce the tax on your Social Security benefits depending on where your income falls for the year too. So
oh, definitely. And like I said, I think it's a no-brainer, especially in a situation we're in now where the market is down too. So if you're going to do your conversion, you do it at what the current market value is. Mm-hmm. And so if the market is down, might be a good time to look at doing that.
Great opportunity to increase that value of that. Yep. That conversion, you're able to essentially convert a greater amount of assets at a lower price and pay less tax now than you would when the market's having a good year. So
I agree.
So yeah, definitely great planning opportunities. You know, one thing you had touched on too is just being able to take bonus depreciation, writing off 100% of the current year assets mm-hmm. that were purchased. And you know, 2022 is such a big planning year for that, because as the law sits now, it's our last year that we've got 100% bonus depreciation. So any assets that are eligible for bonus depreciation, if you can place them into service in 2022, you have an opportunity to write off 100%. You know, starting in 2023, as the law sits now, we're going to have a reduced bonus depreciation benefit, you know, going forward. So
yeah, we're going to see that over the next 3 to 5 years, where some of these rules that we've had in place for a while are now going to phase out, and we're going to get back to what we had here back in 2017. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a rude awakening for some people, but it's time to get ready for that and maybe plan on doing some things now versus later. Yeah. So
and there is talk about, you know, extending that 100% bonus through 2025, and that might be some that we'll see in extender bills going forward. But as we sit now, we're going to have to plan for not having that 100% bonus after this year. So.
Yep, I think I agree.
Yep. Yeah, great tips, great ways to, you know, to do what we can now to save some tax money in the future. So, you know, another big topic that we've been hearing a lot about over the last 2-3 years with COVID is the employee retention credits. And so, you know, these credits were available to businesses that either had a significant decrease in gross receipts in 2019, 2020, and 2021, or they had to be shut down due to a government mandated order. Can you just touch on what's the status of these credits and what we're seeing on our end?
Yeah, this goes back to 2020 and 2021. So most businesses that thought they qualified have looked into this, but if you're a business out there that's still looking at, you know, having a decline in your revenue during 2020 or 2021, it's worth noting that these credits are fairly significant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way you get these credits or these refunds from the government is through payroll taxes, and a payroll tax return is filed each quarter for a business to pay in their taxes for their employees. And the credit is claimed at that level. And right now, I believe it was up to, I couldn't remember the specific dollar amounts, but it's fairly significant. It could cover, you know, $20,000 per employee for 1 year, I believe it was.
Yeah, so it's a significant credit that could be providing a lot of cash flow to businesses in need right now.
And the big holdup right now is that to do this, you have to file an amended payroll tax return, and it has to be done on paper, which mm-hmm. is very, very slow process right now with the IRS. They have a backlog that goes, I think their website last week or the week before had updated and said that they're still behind by about 900,000 returns they still have to process, which mm-hmm. is an incredible number to think about.
Yep.
But just think of how much mail they have to go through just to get to that next next refund that's out there. So they've been held up. I have certain clients that we have refunds have been held up over a year,
yep.
and they keep guaranteeing us that they'll get to it.
Yeah.
But it's been a really slow process, so it's not really as quickly getting out to people as what we should see. So
yeah, and you know, that's a challenge with having to file these paper amended payroll tax returns is these clients are waiting for these credits, this money from the IRS. Meanwhile, they have to actually include that credit as income on their tax return. So we're seeing a timing issue as far as having to pick up the income from these credits well before they ever actually receive that money. So definitely a challenge from the cash flow standpoint we're seeing there.
Yeah, let's hope that they can get this, this part of this $80 billion that was going to be allocated to them over the next 10 years. Let's hope they can find a way to process these returns quicker. Mm-hmm. Get it all to business owners that need this cash flow. So.
Yep. And we are, you know, we are seeing an increase in the turnaround time for a lot of these, but it still seems like it's not where it should be and not as quick as what we need it to be. So,
yep.
You know, the next thing, the IRS actually came out in September and said, we're actually going to give some penalty relief for some taxpayers that filed late over the past few years. Can you just touch on who qualifies for this penalty relief?
Yeah, I think it's if you look at this, it's everybody who's affected by COVID. And again, if you look at everything, IRS always has a one-time kind of get-out-of-jail-free card where if you call and ask for forgiveness, they'll let you have that as long as you've been timely with your past filings. But during 19 and 20, if you were affected by COVID, you can have that requested by the IRS, and they'll forgive your penalties. Now, make sure that when you do talk with them that you're asking for this forgiveness first and not asking for your one-time get-out-of-jail-free card that you have with them. Oftentimes, the IRS will try to do their best, but they're sometimes limited on what they can do with the representatives you talk to over the phone. So be sure that you're aware of this one-time rule during COVID for 19 and 20 to get out of it. I believe you had to file a return by August.
Yes, it would have been August 1st of the year that the tax return was due. So you know, if you didn't file by then, you don't qualify for that one-time relief.
If you had filed by August, though, make sure you use this one-time exception. And then if you do have, if you happen to file after August, just know you do have that option to still ask for first-time abatement from penalties. And again, they'll grant that to you and they'll get rid of all the penalties and interest. It has been a challenge, though, to get a hold of the IRS lately. If you want to try calling, we recommend you do it very early in the morning or very late in the evenings, especially on a Friday night when maybe everybody's out doing something different. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to imagine making a phone call at 6:30 to the IRS on a Friday afternoon or Friday night, but that's what you have to do in some cases to get a hold of them. So.
Yeah, and you know, from our standpoint, you know, we have to call the IRS on various issues, and we actually have a priority practitioner line that we can use to try to get some additional help that's needed to resolve the issues, and trying to even get on the wait list for that sometimes can be a challenge and will require multiple phone calls to even get on the wait list. So.
And you can still respond in writing too if you want to the IRS. It's just going to be a really slow process with their mail opening and going through things. So.
Yeah, very good points. You know, we've been getting a lot of calls, you know, the past few months, not so much this past month before that, when the Biden student loan forgiveness plan was announced. Can you just tell us where we're at with that whole process and where what we see as of today?
Yeah, everything right now that we've saw has been put on hold. And so, but what we anticipated happening is that this would go through. From an IRS standpoint, any student loan forgiveness, I think it was up to $10,000 for one scenario and up to $20,000 for a different scenario. Basically, that would be tax-free to the taxpayer. Minnesota doesn't always conform with what the IRS does. And so we were kind of dreading the fact that we might have a difference between federal and state taxes with this and maybe have a state tax liability associated with this forgiveness. So as of right now, again, everything's on hold, so we don't have to worry about it right now. But as soon as something happens, we're going to need to be prepared to answer those questions. And I'm sure we'll get some more guidance from Minnesota and the IRS when everything is finalized. So
yeah, so just going, you know, looking forward, if this were to go through, you know, we are, as the law sits right now for Minnesota purposes, we are looking at it's going to be taxable as the current law sits. But, you know, with legislation coming into session here, coming up, that could change if something were to move forward on it. So,
yep.
You know, and kind of the last main thing that we've been seeing a lot of the last few years is just more and more clients getting into cryptocurrency. And, you know, that kind of creates a challenge of its own, just being that it's so unregulated and not, it's so new that we're seeing a lot of issues with that. Can you just kind of go into, you know, what taxpayers need to be aware of and things they need to be careful of if they are getting into cryptocurrency?
Yeah, the IRS since 2019 or 20, they have a question now right on the tax return that you have to answer if you have anything to deal with virtual currency. They took out the term cryptocurrency now. I think they just replaced it with virtual currency. But they have that question right on the tax return that you have to answer if you have anything to do with that. it doesn't ask you if you sold it. It just asks you if you had it or you've been, you know, dealing with it. And, you know, and again, that's a change from the past. So, but again, you don't receive any tax forms. You don't have anything that's reported to the IRS on these transactions or what you have going on with cryptocurrencies or virtual currencies. So it's up to you to report that and be, you know, as truthful as you can. Obviously, the IRS, if they ever looked into it, they would find that you would have a liability. You would be on the hook for that and potential penalties. So make sure that you're upfront with your reporting on virtual currency, and you may have to dig a little deeper to find your history as far as what you paid for those currencies. So you have a cost basis that's tracked that can be used against any sale of that currency. Or if you've traded certain currencies for other currencies, oftentimes you can run into problems with understanding if there's a taxable event or not. And again, that's something that if you have questions about, definitely reach out to your tax preparer and get those answers. I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing lately, though, is what happens if this all goes worthless, and what can you do with that? And again, there's ways to write off these bad investments and take a capital loss if that is the case. Like a lot of people went through that when we had our basically back during the Madoff crisis, where there was a lot of investments that were just gone. And so we got to take some capital losses at those times. So be aware of that. Again, crypto is one of those things that changes every year, and there's more things we're learning each day. Yeah. So,
and you know, to go back to your point about with it might be a good point or a good idea to maybe harvest some of those losses before year end too, especially if you've got significant capital gains from other investments. It might be an opportunity to minimize your tax.
Another great opportunity right there. Like I said, try to keep things as much in line as you can, smooth out your income. That's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, these are all great things to talk about and things to keep in mind, you know, as we go into this 2022 tax filing season. So any final words or thoughts, Jeff?
I think the biggest thing is that we're going to get back to a normal tax year this year without, you know, the changes that we talked about earlier. It's going to be a normal looking year. But what that means for us means that we're probably going to be in line with, most taxpayers are going to be in line with, hey, more tax liability, unfortunately. With inflation and everything that we've seen, I think people are going to be a little bit shocked by what they see. Incomes went up, and the tax rates and tax brackets didn't get adjusted in time. So I'm thinking everybody's going to be in a situation where it's going to be a little bit tougher spot.
Yes. A normal tax season is definitely well welcomed.
Thanks for listening to this podcast episode of Life and Advice from Inside CDS. We hope you gained some valuable information about current tax insights for both individuals and businesses for the 2023 filing season. The podcast is brought to you by the CPAs and trusted advisors inside the accounting firm of CDS.